produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Afternoon or good day. I don't know what time it is wherever we are listening. My name is Rahira. It is indeed a blessing and a privilege to have time to share the Word of God with all of you who are listening. I just want to start firstly by praying. Father, we thank you for this appointment. We thank you that you have preserved us and until we saw this day. And we have made this day and we will rejoice. And Father, I still pray for Kayla and the team. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through them. I thank you that you are lifting them up. I thank you that they will go from glory to glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as I minister today and share your word, Father, it will not be me speaking, but it will be the Holy Spirit. Father God, giving the word and giving the truth. My God, I pray. Father, we change and transform lives in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Welcome again to the Awakening Radio program. It has been a while, and I'm so excited. I've been reflecting a lot about what to share with you, and I want to share with you a message that really God has been talking to me about for a few weeks now, which I also shared on social media. And the question is, are you locatable? You know, are you occupying the space that God is expecting you to occupy in the season? And really, I'm anchoring this word on Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 9, where God was asking Adam and saying, Adam, where are you? You know, so this is a question that God was asking Adam because Adam had moved. In my spirit, that God is saying it is time for his children, it is time for the people of God to really reflect on the position they're occupying, on their path they're walking, to say, am I really running the lane that God wants me to run? Am I occupying a position that God wants me to occupy? Am I in the place that God wants me to be at right now? So you would know the story of Adam, that Adam was placed, after he was created, God placed him in the Garden of Eden. And there was communion between God and Adam all the time because, you know, when there is communion with God, there is nowhere where the Bible tells us that Adam needs to pray. But Adam had the voice of God. God instructed Adam, and Adam did exactly what God wanted him to do. So he was operating under the will of God. He was hearing from God. And the Bible tells us that Adam was placed in the land, and God said to him, till the land. And God said to him, you are free to eat of every living plant. So there were positions. There was a position of communion, where we know that Adam was communing with God. And there was a position in terms of the physical position where we know that Adam was placed in a land. You know, there was a position of fellowshipping with God and having that relationship with God. So, and there is a sequence that I'm seeing. If Adam moved from a physical position where he hid himself together with his wife, but before that happened, there was a disconnection between the two of them and God. So before you move physically, it means you move away from your relationship with God. So the first position, when you have moved away from the location, from the place, you need to reflect and you will understand that it means you have moved away from the position and the union and the fellowship that you have had with God. So that's what happened. And the reason why they moved away from God is because the devil came in Genesis chapter 3. The devil came to the woman and said to the woman, you know, there is something better that you can get. And God knows that if you get this fruit, you will be like him. So God was using, I mean, the devil was using an object to shift the heart, the mind of Eve, and finally of Adam away from God. So, and we're going to look at if you have moved from your position, what are the things that you need to, that causes you to move? Because, you know, the Bible tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But I came across something that said, before the truth can set you free, you must know the lie that was holding you hostage. So we're going to look at what are some of the things that have moved you away from God so that you can be able to deal and demystify those myths and understand that those are not truth, and so that you can go back to the position that you're in. I want to say to you, you know, the reason why God wants us to go back to the position, firstly, to reconcile it back to him, it's because God wants us to be under his plan. God wants us to be under his will. God knows that we are workmanship created for good works, that all things in our life will work out for glory. Not only that, God wants us to be the light in the world. God wants us to be solutionists in the world. God wants us to be salt, the salt of the world, which means we are meant to solve problems in the world. We are meant to bring love. We are meant to bring unity. So if those things are not there, it means we as the children of God have moved away. So I hear God saying that, call my children back to the original position so that they can find themselves and go back to the position. So if you have moved from God, what might be the reason? If we look at Adam and Eve, for example, you can see that pride is a very dangerous thing. Pride can move you away from God. The Bible in Proverbs 16, verses 8, tells us that pride comes before the fall. You know, when you have pride, it means you are focusing on self-importance. You want to, you think you are much more important than other people. And in this case, Adam was showing Eve, I mean, not Adam, the devil was showing Eve and Adam that they can be like God. So you want to occupy the position of God. You want to be idolized. And I have seen many people who start on the journey with God very well. And as they become successful, they feel like they can compete with God. So pride can actually move you away from God. And we have seen it with Adam and Eve. And sometimes, you know, God has spoken to me many times about pride. And sometimes you think you don't have pride until you react somehow. You are in a location where they are greeting somebody else, where they are acknowledging somebody else, and you are not acknowledged. And there is a spirit in you that says, why am I not acknowledged? You know, that's a sense of pride. Don't they see that I'm important? And you get shocked. And God was showing me these things and saying, listen to your own voice. You don't even know. When I tell you you've got pride, you don't know where you want to be acknowledged. You want to be seen to be much more important, you know. Whereas the purpose of our life is to glorify God. The purpose of our life is to let the will of God and walk under the will of God, not under our will. So pride is something that we have seen that it can move you away from God. You look at the life of Saul, you know. Saul didn't even see that God has moved away from him. Saul was occupied by power. Pride also comes with a need to have power. And you must remember, I want to talk to the people who feel that they are called. when you are called, it is not about your own power. It is not about your self-importance. When you are called to make to a life of significance. You are called to a life that embetters other people. You are called to a life of serving. You know, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, if you want to be the greatest, you start first by being the least. If you want to be served, you start first by being a servant. And his life was like that. He said the greatest love is where you lay your life for other people, you know. So be careful of pride, because pride can move you away from God, and pride can move you away from the people that you are meant to serve. Because when people start feeling like you don't recognize them, you don't acknowledge them, you don't love them because of pride, people can move you away. And pride can move you from a position that God wants you to, that God wants you to be in. Pride can move you from a role, from a function that is supposed to enable you to serve. So that is the first thing. And Lord, I thank you for that word. Lord, I thank you that you are putting the spirit of pride from us. Lord, and Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is there, my Father, to guide us, to teach us and to show us and to convict us when we act out of pride. My God, the Holy Spirit is also showing us, God, when we don't listen to you, because when you tell us, God, to do something, and our pride says, but I'm big enough, I'm better enough, I can't do that. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will convict us so that, Lord, we can listen to your word and have a childlike attitude and have a childlike heart where we will follow your word no matter what, because we must believe that at the end all things will work out for good. Thank you, Lord, for that. So let us move to the next thing that God was talking to me about to see. What is moving people away from the position that I want them to be? And God says the second thing is fear. You know, 2 Timothy verses 1, chapter 1, verse 7, it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And as a psychologist as well, I've worked with many people who really battle with fear. You know, fear of the unknown, fear to be humiliated, fear to fail. You know, fear, and most of the time, when you really try to help somebody and say, but this thing that you are fearing, is it really real? You find that it is not real. You know, people have seen how other people have failed, or people have seen how other people have been humiliated, or people have just seen, you know, how other people have really gotten negative experience, and they live with this fear. And this fear causes them to get stuck and not move into the position that God wants them. So fear doesn't come from God at all. Fear comes from our programming in our minds. Fear comes from our experiences, like I said. It could be that you have watched other people or you yourself, where you have went, and I've had this experience before, where I have started a women's ministry. And, you know, God, at the end, God said to me, shut it, because I didn't call you to women, but I've called you to a nation. And I felt like I had failed. And for me to restart again, I had a lot of questions to say that, God, will I make it? Can I really do this? Will I not be the stock of love? Will be other people not humiliate me? Will other people not laugh at me? You know, and God, I want to say to you, God did not give us a spirit of fear. First of all, when you have fear, you must ask, am I walking closely with God? I have walked the pathway. I hear the voice of God every day. And I have seen God when he says that my word will not come back void. When he says that my word, and I want to repeat that, my word will not come back void. So when you hear the word of God, when you hear the plans of God, when you hear the vision of God, when you hear the instructions from God, you have no reason to really have fear. So when you have fear, it means you are not walking with God, or it means you don't have faith in God. And fear and faith do not walk hand in hand. So fear really keeps people stuck in a place that God does not is not the will of God. God wants you to start a business. You're thinking, but I have faith. How can I start a business? God wants you to start a ministry. God wants you to start a radio network. God wants you to start a TV program. God wants you to write a book. And you have been sitting on the same spot year after year, speaking about it, dreaming about it, not doing anything, because you are listening to the voice of fear. The voice of fear is not the voice of God, because the voice of God will give you plans, will give you wisdom, will give you strategies to help you get to where you are meant to get to. You know, I'm thinking of Daniel. When Daniel went to the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel said he is not going to eat like other people, and he ate vegetables and drank water. And he knew that when he does that, he will hear the wisdom he needed. And so because of that, he had no fear. So if you don't hear from God, I want to encourage you to live a life of fasting, to live a life of prayer, to live a life of waiting upon God and hearing from God. And because his word, like I said, has not come back void. And you must know, the Bible says, God will never leave you or forsake you, you know. And God will never forsake you in any situation, even when you walk in the wilderness. Because sometimes we even fear to walk in the wilderness. Let me tell you, my brother and my sister, there is no man or woman who has been called in his life to do great things that he has not walked a life or a phase in his life of wilderness. You look at people like David. You look like the Israelites. You look at Abraham. You look, there is a time when you really, Abraham had a promise and waited for 29 years. And it was testing at that point in time. But the word of God was spoken. The word of God was spoken. If you hear from God, you have no reason to really move away from the position of God. Instead, when you have heard from God, it is a time when you need to make sure that God changes your character, prepares you, and during that time, you speak and declare and decree the word of God as you have heard from it. So I want to encourage you, and remember again that God said, all things work out for good for those who love God. So when you have fear and you are stuck because you feel that something happened, go back to the word of God and remember that God says, all things, not some things, not some time, all things work out for good for the thing, for those who love God. So even if things might not be as smooth, and God never promised us that our path will be smooth. God said, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the fire will not scald you, because I, God, I am with you. So don't let fear of pain, because many people are afraid of fear of pain. We're thinking something, either we will be rejected by people, we will be betrayed by people, we will be humiliated, and that is why. Or we don't even trust our own capabilities. And yet God said to us, be fruitful and multiply, which means God has given us everything that we need inside of us to do that which we are meant to do. So never ever let fear imprison you. Never ever let fear keep you stuck in a position that God has not placed you in. Never ever. You know, I want to say again, there was a time when I was really giving up on something that God has spoken to me about, because I thought, in my mind, I had my own plan to say, yes, God, I know this is what you said, and this is how I think what you said will happen. And one day God said to me, remember, I said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So in your waiting season, you need to seek out what my thoughts are and not be stuck on your own thoughts. Because when you look with your natural eyes and you see that things are not happening the way they should be, according to your own mental programming, according to your own expectations, you get discouraged. You feel like, God, I think maybe I didn't hear you well. Maybe I shouldn't be continue waiting anymore. Maybe I must depend on my own insight. Maybe I must go to my friends. Maybe I must go to my colleagues and look for other solutions. And God says, At that time, it is not your time to be looking for other solutions. At that time, it's not time to be looking for answers from other people. Sit still in prayer and ask God, what are your thoughts? Let me have a revelation of your thoughts. Let me have a revelation of your ways so that I can be aligned to your ways, so that I can be aligned and walk according to your ways, so that I should not miss a promise. Sometimes we miss a God's promise because we depend on our own insight. We miss our own promise, God's promise, because out of fear, we went and looked for other solutions. You know, God is an awesome God. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are speaking to us in this season and saying to us, do not be stuck in a place that I have not chosen for you. Come back to me and be in a position where you can be able to really do much and achieve much, you know, and come back and let me uproot the spirit of fear. Father, I thank you that you are uprooting the spirit of fear. Father, I thank you that all the lies that are speaking in our heads right now, Father, you are silencing them. And Father, as we pray to you and come to you with humility, Lord, we help us that our spiritual ears are open to hear from you and recognize your voice. You know, Father, I remember Job. There was a time when Job was listening to everybody else, and Job came to you questioning you, and what you said to him was, Job, your words are words of ignorance, which means Job was reacting, Father, from the experiences that he had and forgot who he is. Father, remind us who you are. He reminded Job and he said, Job, who told the sun to stand? Who told the sea to stop where it was? Who locked the gates of the sea? Who created the heavens and earth? Father, remind us right now, when we have fear that is blocking us, when we have fear that is troubling us, when we have fear that is causing us to run away from you, Father, remind us of who you are. Remind us, Father, that you have created the heavens and earth. Not only that you have created us, that you knew, like you told Jeremiah, you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. And I thank you that as I speak over the radio, that your Holy Spirit is touching the heart and the mind of your people, Lord, and uprooting fear that is troubling them. But I can see many people that are troubled by fear because of what is happening in the world. Father, remind us that when we come to you and return to you, we are not governed by the world, but we are governed by you, Lord. That now your plans will be the plans of our lives, Lord. That your word will be the word over our lives, Lord. Father, I thank you. I glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, so I see I've got only 4 minutes. And maybe instead of going to other factors, and in the next radio show, we will deal with other factors that are keeping you away out of the position and the place that God has really put you. And you will also start saying, how do you go back to that position? You know, so the question that God was asking is, can I locate you? And he is asking the same question that he asked Adam in the Garden of Eden, and said, Adam, where are you? And when he asked that question, it is not because he did not know where Adam was. It was because he was awakening Adam to the fact that Adam had moved away from his position. Because God expected that communion with Adam, that fellowship, but Adam had moved. God expected to see Adam in the land and the place where he was killing it. You know, also Adam moved even from the physical position. So when you have moved from the land, how can you live a blessed life? How can you be fruitful? How can you multiply? So God is saying, I am looking at you. You are crying. You are questioning a lot of things. But where are you in the season? I want you to come back to me as God. I want you to know that I am your source. I want you to know that I am your healing. I want you to know that I am everything that you want, and I have come so that you can have life and have life of abundance. So let go of pride, you know. Pride comes before the fall. Let go, allow God to uproot the spirit of fear, you know. So when we get to the next program, we will continue. And one of the things that I want to teach about, first, another reason for it is comfort zone. So that I won't go there, but to be in a comfort zone, it is also a dangerous place where you stay for a long time in a place that you're not supposed to, and you miss your season. Father, I thank you. Father, I honor you for your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you continue to enlighten us. You continue to awaken us. Let the Holy Spirit be our comforter, be our counselor. Lord, that you have a revelation of your truth, and the truth set us free, Lord. And the truth, because the Bible says, if my people will perish because of lack of knowledge. Father, give us revelation, Father. Give us the wisdom to know and have the key that will guide us to a life of abundance, a life that you have promised us. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings all over the world. This is Thabo Matshie, and welcome to the Love Talk. Today we're just going to have a great talk, and the issue is going to be on the book of John chapter 4. And before we continue, I just would like to first start with a beautiful song, and I love it so much. This is from Bibi and Stacey Winans, and they say, "Don't let me walk this road alone." Lovely. I hope you enjoy it.
As the morning breaks and I start to wake, trying to make it through just for life's own sake,
I look at life now in a different way.
In a different way,
living each moment of each day. It's the same old sky, but it's brighter now. I look up and the stars mean much more somehow.
Help me now, as I start to fall. Shelter me, I don't ask for much at all.
Just a simple thought, I know.
What a beautiful, lovely song that was from Bibi and Cici Winans. And as I've actually shared with you earlier, it was just ushering us into the issue that we will be addressing today. And as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at the book of John chapter 4, and we're talking about when Jesus Christ was in fact meeting with the lady at the well in Samaria. Now, I'm just going to start from verse 7 of the same chapter, where mentioned that a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, we're going to be addressing this from the angle of relationships. This is what actually pleases my heart to talk about. That's why I also have this in my book, where I talk about the gospel according to John chapter 4. So this is how we're going to be looking at it. When Jesus said to the lady, "Give me a drink," for me, the Lord drew me to the fact that Jesus was asking for her heart, was asking for her attention, was asking for her to be drawn to who he was. And I believe that, in relationships, how we have to do it is that we also need to invite Christ, especially when we're looking at getting married. We need Christ. Hence, we need him to walk with us down this road, because one of the major problems that we encounter, even as children of God, is that we usually ignore the importance of engaging with Christ when it comes to matters of the heart, when it comes to love. So when Jesus said, "Give me a drink," I know that we are always drawn to our heart first when we are about to engage with somebody in our lives. We are drawn to our heart, and therefore the Holy Spirit will not leave us for that matter. He will remind us that, by the way, you need that encounter with God. You need to inquire with Christ as to how to go from here. And most of the time, just the same as the Samaritan woman responded to Christ, she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And I love the fact that Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." What we need to understand is that whenever we want to engage in a relationship, especially marriage, we need to seek as much wisdom, as much information and knowledge from God. We need the spiritual guidance. We need spiritual wisdom so that we can make the right decisions. It is dangerous to actually engage into a marriage without understanding or having much knowledge as to what it is about, or even to try and engage with someone without knowing exactly what is it that the Holy Spirit is saying about it, or what the Word of God basically is speaking to us about it. And if we continue on it, we see that the woman said to him, say, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You know, sometimes we look at tangible things which might give us a sign that, you know what, the person that I'm with, I'm engaging with, is the right one. But we pay less attention to the Word of God, the spiritual influence in terms of finding out or understanding exactly how we can make that decision. So it is important that we first have to not look at the natural part of it only, but to first understand, is it in line with God's word? Is it in line with what or how we have to conduct ourselves during that period, so as to gain that much guidance spiritually? And Jesus answered to her and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, meaning he was showing her the tangible water. And then verse 14 says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This is where, as I said, Christ is trying to draw us away from the tangible things that we mostly drawn to, and he's saying, understand the spiritual influence or the spiritual water that I am promising you, because if you have this, you will never thirst. You will have a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So you actually have to understand that Christ is basically just drawing us away from what we are used to, the tangible things that usually captures our hearts, the tangible things that captures our soul, and we end up making hasty decisions. And if we continue there, which we're going to get to the part which I love the most, where the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." You will realize that the Samaritan woman is now starting to obey the voice of Christ. She's now getting to understand what Christ is talking about and what he's trying to give to her. Because remember, he is preparing her for who he is. So he has to deal with everything else that she is used to. He has to deal with a whole lot of things which are planted in her, which are imposed in her, the tangible or the natural things only. So he's trying to draw her to the fact that she needs to focus on the spiritual things, because that is the foundation upon which we can only build strong and concrete relationships and marriages. And remember, this Christ, in actual fact, he's trying to establish a relationship with her. She needs to know him first. She needs to understand who he is and what he is about. So I love the fact that the illustration of water, or the way the story is put, is that Christ is also not forcing himself on her. He's giving her what he believes will help her. He's trying to mold her to understand the higher things more than just the natural things. And here is the thing, something which has captured my attention, where Christ said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Therefore, if the woman says that she has no husband, why did Christ say, go and call your husband and come here? And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, this is where it gets exciting. Perceiving that Christ is a prophet, it means she is now understanding that Christ can see beyond what she can see. Christ can understand her, can actually speak her life without her even knowing. Christ knows her. And as she is drawn to the understanding that Christ knows her, now she is surrendering her will to him. And this is exactly what we need whenever we engage into relationship, especially marriages. Because at the end of the day, Christ knows all the things which we are struggling with. He knows all the things which we are suffering from. He knows our imbalances. Hence, he said that, come to me, those that are heavy laden. You know, Christ knows, and therefore what he does with this lady, what he does with our hearts, he says, you have things inside of you which you don't need. You have things or people in you, because there's a lot of people that we carry in our spirit. There are a lot of people we carry in our souls. There are people we carry in our minds, in our emotions, and those people are no longer with us. And therefore, it is going to be difficult for us to bring somebody into our lives if we still carry those people. Sometimes we even don't make it in relationships or marriages, or we don't even start at all, because we carry these people spiritually. We carry these people in our souls, and we are no longer with them. So therefore, it is important that we understand Christ when he says, deal with these other husbands that you have, because they are the reason why you don't find the right husband. Even as men, Christ is also dealing with us here. Deal with these other wives that you have, be it the spiritual wives or be it the wives you carry in your soul, but they don't exist or they are no longer in your life. Be conscious of them and get rid of those. These are the husbands which Christ is talking to us about. These are the wives Christ is talking to us about. So what we need to understand is that at the end of the day, if we still carry these people, if we still carry them in our souls, we are most likely to become our very own stumbling blocks to our love lives. We are not going to be able to receive someone. And remember the law of attraction. You know, sometimes the things that we carry in our souls and in our spirit become an antenna to the external things which we don't need. So if you're carrying someone in your soul and that person is no longer there, then in the spiritual realm, someone who is connected to Christ will be able to detect that there is something or someone who's occupying that space. Therefore, they will keep away from you. And you will wonder, why am I not getting engaged with someone else? Why is it that when people come to me, they leave me without notice? They don't even tell me what is wrong with me. It's simply because they cannot connect with you, because the antenna, the signal that you carry is not in line with who they are. It's not in line with their spirituality. Then you will find yourself struggling to connect with the right people. So it is very important. What I need to share with you today is, who are these husbands that you carry in your spirit? Who are these husbands that you carry in your soul? Can you identify them? Can you get rid of them in your life? Can you open that space for Christ to sit in you, to dwell in you, and therefore attract the right person into your life? Can you get rid of those spiritual husbands and the ones you carry in your soul? Those soul ties with other people that you have, can you release them? Can you get rid of them? Can you consciously and subconsciously deal with those and make sure that you are no longer entangled with them, that you are no longer engaged to those people, you know, be it consciously or subconsciously? So you need to understand that for you to receive the right person in your life, the spiritual realm has to speak first. The spiritual realm has to influence who you attract and who you repel. So if you don't have that balance, if you don't have that spiritual understanding, you would want to bring someone in a place or an environment where somebody is already occupying, where a spiritual husband or a spiritual boyfriend or anybody is actually occupying, yet you're looking for love, yet you want someone who can love and understand you. So how do you deal with that? Seek Christ first. Let him help you to get rid of whoever is occupying that space. Let him bless you and understand that he has to occupy your heart first before somebody else can occupy it. The Holy Spirit needs to confirm with you. The Holy Spirit will find it even easier to affirm with you and to let you know that this is the person that you are supposed to be with. This is the predestined husband or wife whom God has blessed you with already. But until we get to that point of understanding Christ, whenever he is dealing with us first, like I am gathering from his interaction with the Samaritan woman, is that he is dealing with her first, so that she can know and understand who he is. And he can also uproot the things which are not supposed to be in her life, the things which are not supposed to be in her in her spirit, in her soul, in her mind, in her emotions. And unless she does that, unless she allows him, unless we allow Christ to deal with us, unless we allow him to dwell in our space, in our hearts, we are always going to struggle in terms of attracting the right people, or to even know if the one that we are with are the right ones for us. So we need to be careful. We need to connect with Christ. We need to allow him to dwell in our hearts, to dwell in our soul. We need to have him in our minds. We need to have him in our emotions as well, because he understands, he knows, and he can see that which occupies our lives and is not supposed to be there. So all you have to do is to seek Christ first. And believe you me, when you open up to him, he will be there, and he is going to deal with you. He is going to uproot anything that is not supposed to be in your life. And therefore, with that, I am saying, let Christ guide you. Even in the matters of relationships, we need God. When we get married, we need God. We have to start with God, and we have to go with him through the entire process. We need to live with him in our marriages, but we can only have him if we allow him that space. And with that, my beloved people all over the world, I am saying I love you, bless you, and now I'm leaving you with another beautiful song. And this is from Kathy Banks with Ben Tankard, and they are saying, Perfect Will. God bless you. Amen.
Lord, I've tried life on my own, keeping your spirit far from me, and I failed you time and time again, moving ahead of your perfect plan, only to find out how much I needed you. In you I can depend. So I've learned at times to just keep still as I yield to your perfect will. Your perfect will, not my will, but your will be done. Perfect will, Lord, I've tried life on my own, keeping your spirit. And I failed you over and over and over again, moving ahead of your perfect plan, only to find out how much I needed you. In you I must depend. So just keep still as I yield, I yield, I yield to your perfect will, perfect will, your perfect will. Not my will, but your will be done in my life, Lord. Perfect.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings in the mighty name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wonderful, wonderful greetings from South Africa. I'm excited today once again to be speaking to you. Got a little bit of a flu, but I believe that God will be with me and help me just to speak his heart with his people. I'm going to be speaking with you from the book of Luke chapter 2. And we will be looking from, we will read from verse 36, and it reads as follows. It says, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 70 years after marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you even tonight, mighty God, for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you are about to do for your children all around the world that are listening. We thank you, because we know that you remind us in your word every single day. Heavenly Father, we thank you even tonight for what you are about to say to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, people of God, from where I've just read, the Bible brings us into the knowledge or introduces us to a woman named Anna, who is introduced to us as a prophetess, and we are even told that she lived with her husband until she was widowed. She lived with her husband, whom they were married to, for a very long time, until she got to a point where she lost the husband and became widowed. But eventually, the Bible then says to us that this woman, after being widowed, now moves into a space where she then lives at church. And then over and above that, she actually becomes an intercessor, or she becomes a prayer warrior, or she becomes someone that fasts and prays daily at church. Now, when I saw this, I asked myself, or something came to my mind, and I thought to myself, if many of us were to go through what Anna went through, we would probably find ourselves in a situation where we are sitting in that little corner and we are feeling sorry for ourselves. We are sitting in a little corner and we are waiting for someone to bring help to us. We are sitting in a little corner and we just swimming in a whole lot of sorrow and pain, and we're not even thinking anything beyond just crying and mourning for our beloved husband. But here's this woman, people of God, here's this woman, beloved of God, that has just gone through terrible loss. Here's this woman who has known nothing her entire life but being with her husband, and at the age of 84, loses this man. And after losing this man, now she has to go live in the temple. But the Bible then says that when she lived in the temple, all that she did was fast and pray day and night. Now, this says to me that this woman knew exactly what to do when she was going through a storm. Now, what I'm trying to say is that she could have went through a phase or a time where she lost it all, including her spiritual life. She could have lost everything that she had worked for, including her prayer life, because now here's this husband that is gone, but she chooses to do something better than anything, or something better than anybody can ever thought of, and that is now going into a place of prayer, going into a place where she says, now that I've lost my husband, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, but I will dedicate my life to prayer. Where are the people in the kingdom of God that will rise when they are going through a storm and say, I will not even concentrate on my storm, but my storm will be an opportunity to fast and pray for other people. My storm will be an opportunity to fast and intercede for other people. My storm will be an opportunity to arise and say, I will pray for the people of God. My storm will be an opportunity for me to say, my wilderness is not going to stop me from becoming a voice of hope or a voice of intercession to someone. There is someone somewhere that needs your encouragement. There is someone somewhere that needs your prayers, but we are failing to pray for certain people because we are feeling sorry for ourselves in situations that we could have gotten out of many, many months ago, many years ago. Some of us have gone through things, but ever since we've gone through those things, we have been even unable to read the word. We have been unable to read the Bible. We have been unable to find ourselves in a time of devotion. We have been unable to find ourselves in a time of worship and intercession. But I am here to tell you today that, listen, here is an opportunity coming from God that whenever you are going through a storm, can it not put you back and can it not hold you back and can it not pull you back? But rather, can the storm be an opportunity for you to say, now this is the time and this is the place and this will be the season where I will arise and pray for the people of God, where I will arise and I will be there for the people of God, where I will arise and I will say, God, use me, where I will arise and I will say, Lord, if there's any vessel in your kingdom that you can use, can that vessel be me? Where we will put aside our pain and think about the message. Where we will put aside what we are going through and think about the people of God. Where we'll put aside our pain and say, Lord, there is far too many people that could be waiting to hear from me, that could be waiting to hear a sermon from me, that could be waiting to hear a voice of prayer from me, or that could be waiting to hear some sort of an encouragement from me. And you say, Lord, if there's anything you can use in this season, use me. If there's anyone you can use in this season, use me. And what better time, people of God, to ask God to use you? Time where you yourself are going through a storm, where you yourself are going through a time of loss, where you yourself are going through a painful time, where you yourself are going through a phase or a time where you would be expecting people to come and feel sorry for you, people to come and pat you on the shoulder, people to come and say, you know what, Linda, this is not the day or this is not the time to be doing this. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to encourage you. But you say, Lord, if there's anyone you can use in this season, or if there's anyone you can use in this phase or in this time, Lord, use me. You can be an answer to someone even in your pain. You can be an answer to someone even when things are not looking good for you. You can be an answer to someone even when things are not going for the looking their best. You can be an answer to someone even when you are unemployed. I've been saying to people that sometimes God is not going to use an employed person to answer their answer of provision. Do you remember the widow? Where God said to Elijah, I will direct you to a widow whom I have spoken to. Somebody could be thinking that when God wanted to bring provision for Elijah, God could have risen somebody that is wealthy, somebody that had food, somebody that had the best of the best in their house. But look what God chose. God chose a widow that had nothing in her household. All she had was the last flour. And she said, this is just for me and my son. We're going to eat and then we're going to die. But God used that woman. God used someone whose hope was looking very, very fuzzy. Someone whose hope was not looking as good as someone who would have been employed and had the means to give to Elijah. But God used someone whose hope or whose answer or whose thoughts could not have made them think that there would be an answer to someone. But here is this person in the midst of their storm, in the midst of having nothing, in their season of being in lack, in the season where they could be expecting someone to touch their life, where they could have been expecting someone to come and answer their question, where they could have been expecting someone to come and answer answer their prayer of provision, where they could have said, Lord, please touch someone to come and give me food. But God touches the very person. God speaks to the very person who needs to be provided for. Because the Bible says, then God says to Elijah, I have spoken to a widow. I have spoken to her. Meaning the widow knew that Elijah was coming. As much as she had nothing left, as much as she didn't have enough, but she knew that Elijah was coming. Can I speak to someone that is saying, Pastor, I have nothing to give. Pastor, I do not have enough to give. I do not have enough strength to pray for someone. I do not have enough strength to encourage someone. I do not have enough strength to preach to someone. I do not have enough strength to be able to stand and hold someone's hand. I want to say to you, you are the right candidate to be an answer to someone. You are the right candidate to speak to a life of someone that is in need. You are the right candidate to encourage your brethren. You are the right candidate to encourage someone that needs to hear from you. Now, I am urging you, woman of God, a man of God, somewhere, wherever you are listening from, I am urging you to say to you, arise. If there's ever a time where God wanted to use someone, if there was ever a time where God felt that there was someone that he needed to use, allow him to use you. Allow him to use you as a vessel tonight. Allow yourself to be available for God's assignment and for God's purpose. And do not even wait for it to be a better time, as we would think. Do not wait for a better season to arise until you will be able to encourage others. I want to urge you, child of God, that can this be the very moment where you will be able to arise? Can this be the very moment where you will be able to be used of God, even in your pain, even in your tears, even in the place where you feel that there is just too much wounds in your life? Allow God to arise you in that season where there's just too much wounds. But say, Lord, if there's anyone that you would have wanted to use in this season, allow me to be that person. Allow me to be that answer to someone. The widow could have said, no, Lord, you can't use me. I have my last. No, Lord, you can't use me. I have just a little bit. No, Lord, can you use my next door neighbor? Lord, can you use my cousin who has got more food or who's got more provision? Lord, can you use that businessman down the road? Lord, can you use that other lady in church that is able to provide and that has been given to the needy for as long as I can remember? But you know what? She said, it's okay. I will do it, and I will become that person that is available to be an answer to this man of God. And can you be an answer to someone, child of God? Can you be a voice of hope to someone, child of God? If there's ever been a season where God wanted to use someone, I'm telling you now, this is the season. Even if when you don't feel like it is the right season for you to do this, but I urge you and I want to encourage you tonight that this is the time. Just like Anna did when she was supposed to have been a widow, sitting in her home and waiting for people to bring secondhand clothing and waiting for people to bring prayer and encouragement. But she said, you know what? This is my opportunity to use my time of mourning to encourage others, because I know what it feels like to be in pain and cry for your loved one. Now, this is the time where I am going to arise and I will encourage the people of God. And not only will I encourage them by coming to church and staying in the temple, but I will encourage them by praying for them and by fasting. Imagine someone who is a widow at the age of 84 being in church, fasting and praying daily and standing in the gap for the people of God, not expecting anyone to come through for them, not expecting anyone to come and say, woman of God, we are here to encourage you, but saying, even in my pain, I will become a voice of encouragement to someone. I am here tonight, and I'm speaking on this particular day to someone that could be saying, woman of God, I lost all hope. I lost everything. I lost my strength. I lost my prayer. I lost my devotion. I lost my hope when I got raped. I lost my hope when I got abused. I lost it all when I got divorced.
I lost it all when I lost my child through miscarriage. I lost everything that I have ever believed in. The day that my husband walked out, I lost all the hope that I have ever had. The day that the church hurt me, I lost all the love I have for marriage. The day my husband started to abuse me physically. But I'm here to say to you today that can you not let rape be something that will stop you from encouraging others? Can you not let miscarriage stop you from becoming a voice of hope to someone? Can you not let divorce stop you from becoming a voice of encouragement to someone? If there was ever a time where someone needed to hear from God, allow your painful season and your painful time and your painful period in your life be that moment that God will use anyone. If God would use anyone, let it be you. Let it be you, child of God. Can God use you as that voice of hope? Can God use you as that voice of encouragement? I'm here today, and I am here to say to you, let your situation turn around into a situation of someone that will become a hope to the hopeless, someone that will become a voice to the voiceless, someone that will become an encouragement to those that have lost their courage. And what better way to do it than doing it in a period and in a time where things are not even looking good for yourself, when things are not looking good for you? Now, I want to say to you, child of God, that if you want to start making a difference in the kingdom, if you want to start making a difference for the people of God, start using this very moment where you think that God is not going to use you, but God is going to use the very pain you are going through to help someone. God is going to strengthen you in your tears in order for someone's tears to be wiped away. God is going to strengthen you in your pain in order for someone's pain to be taken away, because you will arise and say, I am not just speaking a sermon, I'm not just speaking a word of encouragement, but I am speaking as someone that has been through what you are going through. Or you can even go as deep as saying, I'm speaking as someone that is going through exactly what you are going through. But I choose to arise and say, Lord Jesus, if there's anyone or anything you have ever wanted to use in somebody's dark season, let it be me, mighty Jesus. Let it be me, Lord God. If you are to be seen, Lord God, as a God that shows up, show up through me. Show up through my voice. Show up through my prayer. Show up through my encouragement. If there's ever been a time where someone will say, I saw God, can they see God through my life? Can they see God through my testimony? Can they see God through my encouragement? Can they see God through my prayer? Can they see God through my fasting? And can they see God through my selflessness? I choose to be selfless, and I choose to stand and say, yes, I've been through pain. Yes, I have seen all the pain that any man can think of. Yes, I have cried myself to sleep. Yes, I have lost all my ability to pray for myself. But today I stand and I say, the people of God and the kingdom of God will not suffer for as long as I am still alive. If there's ever a beacon of hope that must remain as a remnant that will stand in the kingdom of God, I choose to be that remnant of hope. I choose to be that remnant that will remain and say, God, if your people need to be preached to, I will remain and preach the gospel. Wilderness or no wilderness, I will preach your gospel. Pain or no pain, I will preach your gospel. Loss or no loss, I will preach your gospel. Now, people of God, I want to encourage you tonight that we need the Annas of today. We need the widows of today. We need those people that will say, I am going through my own pain. I am going through my own winter season. I am going through my own wilderness. But my wilderness is not going to stop me from becoming an answer to someone. But my wilderness is not going to stop me from becoming a voice of hope to someone. My wilderness will not stop me from becoming a prayer for someone, towards someone. If there's ever a time where God needed an intercessor, it is you, and it is not only you, but it is you in the very season you are in. I know someone could be thinking, but Pastor, I need prayers myself. Now, I want you to think of someone that might not be as strong as you are. I need you to think of someone that might not even be born again, that needs you to arise and say, yes, I am going through it. I am in pain. However, that is not going to stop me from praying for the people of God. That is not going to stop me from standing in the gap for the people of God. That is not going to stop me from being a person that will intercede for the people of God. That is not going to stop me from becoming a warrior that will pray in the kingdom of God. Now, I want to encourage someone today. I want to encourage someone right now that, child of God, we are depending on you. We are counting on you. The kingdom is incomplete without your prayers. The kingdom is incomplete without your sermons. The kingdom is incomplete without your encouragement. The kingdom is incomplete without your service. Now, I want to say to you, yes, I understand that you're going through pain, and I understand that you're going through whatever storm you're going through. But allow me to say to you that God is getting ready to use you, and God is getting ready to take you to a place where you've never been. And you would not believe that God is getting ready to do that while you are going through your storm. I want to encourage you, and I want to say to you, child of God, that wherever you are listening from, I know that you might be going through a tough time. I know that you might be going through a moment and a season in your life where you are thinking, Pastor, I can't do it anymore. I have lost my voice. I have lost my prayer. I've lost my worship. I've lost everything that I have ever depended on, especially when it comes to my purpose and what God has called me to do. I stand here as a voice of hope today. And I want to say to you, your season of hope, your season of encouragement, and your season of power, it is found in your wilderness. It is found in your pain. Anna found her purpose in her pain. Anna found her answer in her pain. Anna found her answer in the season when she was crying and in the season when she was mourning for her dear husband. But she said, this is not going to stop me. This is not going to take away my prayer. This is not going to take away my intercession. This is not going to take away my fasting. Allow me to encourage you, child of God, and allow me to speak to you tonight, child of God, and say to you, this is the moment where you should arise. This is the moment where you should stand and say, Lord, I want you to use me, and I'm going to pray right now. And as I pray, I want you from wherever you are, I just want you to pray with me this prayer, especially if you found yourself that you have backslidden after you've gone through a wilderness. I know what it feels like not to want to talk to God because I've gone through things. I know what it feels like. I have gone through a painful season in my life where for the entire 2012, I did not speak to God after I had been kidnapped, robbed, and raped. But I remember arising and saying, what about the people who are waiting upon my ministry? What about the people who are depending on my ministry? So I want to pray for those people that are saying, Pastor, I have just you've just reminded me of my calling and my purpose. And I want you to pray with me this prayer. I just want you to repeat after me and say, Father God, I come before you tonight as a vessel of honor with a repentant heart. And I want to say that welcome me back to the kingdom. Welcome me back to my purpose. I am ready to work for you again. I am ready to be used as a vessel once more. I am ready to be filled with your presence once more. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your child is listening from wherever in this world. Heavenly Father, I pray that you fill them up with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you fill them up with the ability, my Lord, through the Holy Spirit, to be able to stand and to be able to fight against whatever that they are going through. Can their wilderness, Lord Jesus, be an opportunity for them to step up and let them be used in the kingdom? I pray, Heavenly Father, for the voice, Heavenly Father, you are about to give them. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the ability that you are about to give them, for them to be able to stand and say, Lord, if there's ever anything that you want to use, let it be me. I thank you for their life, and I thank you for their restoration. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen and amen. And God bless you all. And from me, Pastor Linda Maponyane, I will speak to you very soon. Thank you so much, and God bless you.